It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A recent report by the Institute for Policy Innovation concludes wages rise fastest in U.S. cities with the greatest influx of skilled immigrants. This could be one reason why a number of U.S. cities are creating ways to attract more immigrants to their municipalities. Attracting and retaining immigrant populations is the focus of the Global Great Lakes Conference taking place this week in Pittsburgh. I'm joined now in Studio A by Tom Buell. He's Director of Marketing and Study Pittsburgh Initiative at Global Pittsburgh. Tom Buell, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Also with us to provide an overview of the conference and talk about immigration efforts to attract immigrants to Pittsburgh, is Betty Cruz, nonprofit and faith-based manager for Mayor Bill Peduto's office. Betty Cruz, good to have you with us.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Betty, let's start with you. The city has just launched Welcoming Pittsburgh, and it is an initiative to make the city more attractive to immigrants. How will this initiative help?
Well, first off, we were actually connected to this opportunity through our friends at the Department of Human Services, Barb Murrock's team there. The county had joined on as a welcoming county sometime last year, and when she told us about this opportunity and then the mayor flagged this priority to build a more welcoming city, we connected with the Welcoming America team right away and then signed on to be a welcoming city a couple months back and had the opportunity to really kick off with our launch at the end of May. One of the key things, as I've been talking to other cities who have successfully launched their welcoming campaigns, one of the first steps is really to bring in community leaders and establish an advisory council so that we can hear directly from the community what a more welcoming Pittsburgh will look like. And that's important not just for the, as you said, there is an interest in attracting new populations of residents. The mayor has made a commitment to build the population of Pittsburgh out by 20,000 new residents over the next 10 years. So we definitely see an opportunity for immigrants to be part of that group, but it's also to build a more welcoming community for the immigrants who are already here, the refugees who are already here and have established roots in our city. So the advisory council is really going to help shape what I'm calling our roadmap for the next 3 years. But in conjunction with that, we're going to also make sure we do a listening tour across the city. And we also have recently modified our Civic Leadership Academy. The application is going to go live for that this week. That usually has about 30 participants, and it's a 10-week class to give the community a firsthand insider's perspective into local government. And for the first time, we're going to divide that class. I shouldn't say divide. We're going to open up that class, half of it, to new Americans or recent immigrants to Pittsburgh. We're really excited about that.
And so is Pittsburgh's initiative, is it modeled after what other cities are doing?
So I'd say we've taken lessons from other cities, but it will be modeled ultimately based on the Pittsburghers that are around the table and the feedback that we're hearing during the listening tours. So Chicago had some great lessons for us in the way that they've partnered with their libraries to have naturalization corners in their libraries. They've also actually opened up City Hall to have naturalization ceremonies there. Those are some interesting ideas that I think we'll want to consider as well. And we've looked across to smaller cities as well as large cities like Chicago, but pooling those different ideas, but obviously creating and customizing our own roadmap.
Tom Buell, how does Pittsburgh compare to other cities when it comes to attracting immigrants?
Well, in a lot of ways, Paul, Pittsburgh is behind the curve. Although Pittsburgh was a city of immigrants back around the turn of the previous century, people from a lot of other countries came here and built the steel city. But over the years, because of the out-migration of people during the collapse of the steel industry, it's become actually one of the cities with the fewest number of people born in other countries. So the reason behind talking about attracting immigrants is because they are, in fact, an important part of the economic development of a region, and that Pittsburgh, if we don't do things like join the Welcoming America program, that we will in some ways be left behind again the way same way we were when we failed to react to foreign competition in the manufacturing and steel industries. This is something that's happening not just in the United States but around the world. People, governments, economic development strategists want immigrants to come and start. They're two or three times more likely to start their own companies, create jobs. There's piles of statistics about how much they contribute to the economy, and Pittsburgh is frankly late to the table. But I think in some ways that's a positive thing. We can learn from the experiences of other cities. Make this, as the mayor says, it won't be a livable city for any of us until it's the most livable city for everyone, and that includes newcomers. I'd like to point out that this isn't a liberal or conservative thing. The Republican governor of Michigan has made attracting immigrants one of the top planks in his economic development strategy, the city of Detroit. And this conference that we have coming up on Thursday, Global Great Lakes Network, if I could make a segue here,
sure.
This is the very core of the theme of this conference. We've got the Global Great Lakes Network of organizations and individuals working on immigrant attraction and retention as key parts of the economic development strategy, ways to take cities that have suffered from the economic downturn and are now coming back in great numbers, in part because they are attracting immigrants, whether they be students, whether they be people who've come to work for companies in the area. And then another key part of this conference is going to be connecting them with the underserved communities, mostly the African American communities who may not be benefiting from the economic benefits that the immigrants do bring.
You can join the conversation about Pittsburgh's efforts to attract immigrants at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh, and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What do you think are the best ways to attract and retain immigrant populations in Pittsburgh? And if you have immigrated to Pittsburgh, what has your experience been like? We'd like to hear from you and hear your story. How has Pittsburgh welcomed you? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. Tom, can conferences like this, like the Global Great Lakes Conference, be influential in the ongoing debate to overhaul our immigration system?
I truly believe so, that the conversation can be expanded and broadened. We are partnering with another organization here in Pittsburgh called Vibrant Pittsburgh. We're also partnering with another organization called Global Detroit, which is helping to open this up to a number of people. The public is invited. It's a free conference. There's still seats available on Thursday. It's going to be at the University of Pittsburgh Law School. GlobalGL.org is the registration site, if I might plug that. But I think, you know, everybody has their own interpretation of immigration reform. I think more and more consensus is being reached that the changes need to be made. But I think the more we can, it's part of a process of understanding what that conversation is, telling success stories, being open and honest about some of the barriers to immigration. You know, I think a big part of it is understanding. A part of it is old fears about job loss. But in fact, the numbers prove that the more immigrants come in are actually going to be creating new jobs either through their consumption or creating of their own companies.
We hear that. How does that work? Paint the picture of us of how immigration helps create jobs. Maybe Betty, you can jump in and answer that one.
Well, I can tell you from my personal story. My parents are from Cuba, And they were, after taking different jobs, my dad as a waiter initially, and really getting their start in this country, they were eventually able to save up enough money and open up a small Cuban cafeteria. And they employed, it wasn't a huge team, but they employed a team of employees and, you know, paid taxes and, you know, were very proud and thankful for the opportunity this country has given them and in turn given me. As we'll hear later from Gabriel, he's also a small business owner and has opened actually multiple grocery stores across our area and employs, I believe he said, about 25 or so employees. So on a smaller scale, that's one of the benefits that can come from what is oftentimes seen as under-resourced immigrants who are coming into the city. They're entrepreneurial and if given the opportunity, and that's a role that we would want to have as government, connecting the dots and making sure they're connected to those resources so that they can be successful and showcase the assets that they bring and give back to the city.
And Gabriel, who you mentioned, Gabriel Berriman, is the owner of Las Palmas Grocery, and he will be joining us in our next segment to tell his story. In the meantime, we are encouraging folks in Pittsburgh to share their story with us, your story of your immigrant experience coming here. How have folks in Pittsburgh welcomed you? What has your experience been like? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Simon in Greenfield. Simon, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Simon.
Hi. I moved to Pittsburgh in 2008 after having lived in several cities in the United States. I'm originally from Colombia, South America. And it's hard to believe that, before moving to Pittsburgh, all I'd heard about Pittsburgh was, you know, back in, I think when I was in college in the 1990s, about the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that was all I knew other than, you know, that it was cold and very polluted. And I get here and it's like a completely different story. And in all honesty, I've never felt so at home in any other city that I've lived in my entire life before leaving my hometown of Medellin. And it's just a credit to the city and the people of Pittsburgh, to the incredible turnaround that the city has achieved, and the potential that I see within the Pittsburgh city limits and the greater Pittsburgh metro region is just unbounded. I could not be more encouraged.
Simon, I think we're all encouraged to hear what you're saying about your experiences here in the city. When you say how different your impressions were of Pittsburgh before you got here, specifically, what are some things in particular that really contrast with your perceptions of the city before you got here?
Well, I'll be perfectly honest. I knew very little about Pittsburgh, and I really mean it, other than, yes, everybody's heard about, you know, how it was the hub of, you know, steelmaking in the United States and a couple other things, and how pivotal it was in early American history. But frankly, I knew very little about what Pittsburgh was and how significant it was. And, you know, knowing now what I know and seeing the history kind of how Pittsburgh reinvented itself is really rather impressive.
Can I ask what brought you here?
I was promoted from one job that I had in Connecticut to another one here in Pittsburgh. And I've changed several jobs since, but I've never really wanted to leave since I got here.
Well, and our guests, Tom Buell and Betty Cruz, is Simon's tale a fairly common one from what you hear of recent immigrants to the city?
Well, certainly common in the fact that they are pleasantly surprised when they get here because what they find is different from the stereotypes. But I'm glad to hear that because sometimes we have heard stories about newcomers, international and otherwise, finding Pittsburgh to be friendly at first, but a little bit hard to break through some of the old family lines and community lines. But I'm very encouraged to hear Simon's experience.
Yeah, and I'm actually originally from Miami, Florida, and I strongly share the sentiment that Pittsburgh has some of the nicest people I've ever met. It's a very welcoming city as a whole. What I've found, though, from other more recent immigrants that I've spoken with who maybe have struggled a bit with language barriers, not that they don't want to learn the language, it just takes them a little bit of time. Maybe they came here a little older in life. That can sometimes create a bit of a barrier, and the exchange doesn't feel as welcoming. So I think with the newness, as more and more immigrants are being embraced by the community and seen, again, as the assets that they're bringing to the table, that will evolve. But I think it's just that the unfamiliar, when you don't can't quite pinpoint where that accent is from or where the other person, what their experience is, where they're from, that has created, from some folks that I've connected with, a little bit of a barrier. And that's quite honestly what we want to do with these listening tours, is open up the opportunity for cross-cultural dialogue.
And Simon, we thank you for that phone call. And I think one of the things for Pittsburghers that sometimes takes some getting used to is this is a city that has not had a tremendous influx of Spanish-speaking immigrants. You've got a lot from Eastern Europe, yes, and other places, but I think that we're starting to hear the language more and more here in Pittsburgh. And when we get to our next segment with Gabrielle, we're going to hear about something that people in Pittsburgh have. He has created something that people in Pittsburgh really, really like. Before we wrap up this segment and let Tom Buell go, a couple more things I wanted to ask you about, Tom. What happens if the region fails to attract significant numbers of migrants or immigrants? Betty, and maybe you can chime in on this as well, but you mentioned Bill Peduto's goal of growing the population, building it out to by 20,000 more people. What happens if we don't reach that number?
Well, I think that what happens is that that growth will stop. Companies will go other places. You know, they are here, and the demographic truth of the matter is that because of Pittsburgh's age makeup, there will be a lot of people retiring from the workforce in the next 10 years. And because there's this gap that was created by the number of people who left 25 years ago, it's a little complicated. But what's going to happen is that there are going to be a lot of jobs that need to be filled in not just in the hourly workforce, but in the management workforce. And if there aren't people here to fill them, then the companies will turn to other places. So there's really a need to bring more people in, whether they're born in the U.S. or from other countries. So there really is a very real economic need that if the growth that's and resurgence that's taken place in Pittsburgh will come to a grinding halt if those numbers aren't made up.
And Pittsburgh and its surrounding communities reportedly skew a little older and are a little less diverse than many other cities. So what challenges does that pose, Betty?
Well, I think it goes back to, again, the true need to have cross-cultural opportunities so that we become comfortable with the unfamiliar, so that we see the jobs that are being created, the innovation that is being that springs about when you have diverse opinions, diverse perspectives, diverse experiences at the table. We've seen this be successful in other Rust Belt cities. I've talked a lot with the team in Dayton, Ohio, about their welcoming initiative, and it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take a lot of education and awareness and exposure and openness. And I think that the mayor has shown his desire to have a more open and transparent administration. It's going to be no different when it comes to this initiative. So we understand that these relationships are going to need to be built. But there's a lot of great organizations that have been doing amazing work on the ground. Global Pittsburgh, Vibrant Pittsburgh, the Allegheny Conference is a strong advocate to make sure that we're retaining the student talent that's coming through, international talents as well as other. And across the board, focusing on other issues from high-skilled to lower-skilled workers. So really, we're just excited from the city's perspective to be at the table with all of this that's happening and hopefully fill a gap so that we don't fall behind.
Betty Cruz is nonprofit and faith-based manager for Mayor Bill Peduto's office. Also with us for this first segment, Tom Buell, director of marketing and Study Pittsburgh Initiative at Global Pittsburgh. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
And coming up, we'll continue this conversation with Betty Cruz, and we'll meet a man who has opened a thriving chain of markets with Latin American products. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're discussing Pittsburgh's efforts to attract more immigrants to the city. I'm joined in Studio A by Betty Cruz, nonprofit and faith-based manager for Mayor Bill Peduto's office. And also with us for this segment is Gabriel Berriman, owner of Las Palmas Grocery. Gabriel Berriman, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to join the conversation about Pittsburgh's efforts to attract immigrants, you can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at esspgh, and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What do you think are the best ways to attract and retain immigrant populations in Pittsburgh? And if you have immigrated to Pittsburgh, what has your experience been like? How has Pittsburgh welcomed you? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Betty, before we talk with Gabriel, what happens in Pittsburgh when an immigrant first comes here? Is there a place where they can go, maybe a center that has information for them and helps them to assimilate into Pittsburgh?
Sure. So there's two paths, right? So if you're a refugee being resettled into the Pittsburgh region, you are connected to an organization like the Jewish Children and Family Services, who will help with everything from housing to assimilation and really understanding some things that we take for granted, our busing system, hygiene, and other cultural, what we see as cultural norms, but that may be different from folks who are new to the country. The immigrants coming in who are not coming in through the refugee process have a great resource with Vibrant Pittsburgh, I would say, is one of the first that comes to mind. They have a welcoming center, and they're doing amazing work there in terms of making sure that new immigrants in our region understand the job opportunities, understand our different neighborhoods, and are connected to the city.
So, Gabriel, you came to Pittsburgh, and you decided to start a business. How did you arrive at that decision for creating a grocery, a market here in Pittsburgh that people would want to come to and buy products from?
Okay. The first time I come here is because one of my cousins live here, and then she invited me to a party. You know, we come from Indiana before. We used to live there. And then after that, after the party, I say, okay, where do we go? You want to go somewhere? We're going to buy some products to go and do it, some carne asada and stuff like that.
So you're looking to buy some
yeah, some stuff to this, you know, get a little bit over. And then she take me some places, and then I think I saw, like, we need more products. And that time in Indiana, we're doing landscaping, and then we don't doing so good. So we moved.
Business was not going too well.
So when we come here is when we start thinking about with my brothers, and they say, we need something here. This is a big opportunity here. Nobody have it. So we sell it all the stuff we got in Indiana, and then we come here, and then we open the first store in Brooklyn. And this is how that works. And then,
so you opened the first Las Palmas market in Brooklyn. And so you were able to identify that here in Pittsburgh, which is kind of a foodie, people like their food here, and they enjoy their restaurants, and then they like to be able to make different types of food at home. So you saw that there was the need for a store that had some Mexican products for people that wanted to cook and make whatever, tacos or, you know.
Enchiladas.
Enchiladas.
Chile rellenos.
Now it's lunchtime. I'm getting really hungry hearing you talk about this. So you got together with your brothers. And so how did you build the business up?
Okay, we're trying to find a place for us to do it. When it's population, we're looking for most like Hispanic, you know, because that's where we sell it, actually, the first thing. But after that, in Brooklyn, we see a lot of customers. They like American and all kind of stuff. They like the food. They like the products we have. And then we put in a little bit things around, and then we start working. And then, I mean, we're doing so good over there in Brooklyn. And the community over there, they start to grow up. They open another businesses, and we have more customers going in all the time, all the time. So we move it so fast. And I think less than a year, we already opened. We're trying to open another store because we saw this a big opportunity, and we're doing so well with all my brothers.
And I read that you guys, when you started out, you had just the way that you were loading your groceries was, assimilating obtaining material and then delivering, you know, to the store was in a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And now you have something far bigger. Describe that whole transition.
Okay. The first time when we opened is I have a Ford F-150, and then it's when I have to drive all the way to Chicago and come for, and then because it's, I mean, that's what we have. And then after that, we move into, I have to rent the trailer, and I put it in the truck. And then I have to drive every week to Chicago and bring here all the products. And then after that, it's, I have to do a couple times, so it's too hard. So I rent a truck, 24 foot. And then bigger enough, we start getting more and more people. We open another store, and then we have to get a semi-truck. And then after that, we open another store. And then right now, I think we got like two semi-trucks from every week from Chicago to come here to put in products all day. I mean, like Mexican and Colombian and all kind of stuff, you know. And then IGA right there in Beachview, we have a company that delivered it for us, all the American products. So basically, we sell it both things.
So you have a tie-in with them. And so you have a chain of stores now.
Yeah.
And so from a pickup truck to a semi,
yeah,
to load in all the products that you need.
Sorry.
No.
We used to do it by hand. I mean, that's how we do. I mean, all people in Brooklyn, they talk about how we unloaded all the truck by hand. Everybody's moving and putting by hand because we don't have a forklift or anything like that. We're doing by hand. And I mean, right now, we're doing true semi-truck plus the American products. We have to have something else. And that's a really good place in Beachview where we have it. With everything that lives there, and then we move all the products to another store somewhere there.
But business is good, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So are you happy you came to Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah. All my brothers, too.
For you, has it been a good transition? Obviously, you found an economic opportunity. But as far as your life away from work, which I'm guessing at least at first you probably didn't have much free time, it sounds like. But in your free time, as far as activities and that type of thing, are you enjoying your life in Pittsburgh?
Oh yeah, that's good. We go to Kennywood a lot of times with my brothers. I mean, not a lot when we have time. We go places with my kids, and they do too. It's a really good place to live too. I mean, all our kids is here, and then, I mean, there's nothing I can say.
And you have your son, Aaron, is here. But if you can go to Kennywood, then you're enjoying life. I haven't had a chance to get back to Kennywood since I moved back to Pittsburgh. But Betty, this sounds like one of the great stories that you're trying to create more of in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, that entrepreneurial spirit that comes with recent immigrants is embodied in what Gabriel is sharing. And he was actually telling me earlier a really funny and I think telling story about when his store opened in Beachview. I think it was in Beachview. Mm-hmm. And the American or native-born community members and the Hispanics. And do you want to share that, the lines?
Okay. It's something I say. It's some funny. When we got the store in Beachview, the name is we don't take the IGA out. We put an IGA in Las Palmas. And then the reason that all this happened is because we want the community over there they help us to grow up, and you know, you want customers all the time. But I say for her, we there's two lines there, and when we first opened that store, we have Hispanic and American cashier, because we can see like the Hispanic going to the Hispanic and the American going to Hispanic. That happened last 6 months. Right now, when we sold all these things, move people going into the store, and they start liking what we got and all the products and everything. Now they don't care. They go in whatever is not busy line, they go into there. You know what I mean?
They don't get an English speaking person doesn't get nervous about having an English cashier and vice versa.
Yeah.
How many employees do you have?
I believe for all the stores, we have 4 stores right now, and I think it's like 25 to 30. I'm not sure.
25 to 30 employees. So this speaks to the idea of that we talked about in the beginning, the whole premise that what immigration does is it creates economic opportunity. It's economically beneficial to the cities that encourage it because it is a job creator.
Right. And it, again, through his grocery stores, through Gabriel's grocery stores with Las Palmas, it's bringing one of the most important parts of our culture to the community, which is food. And that creates a space where folks can gather around like-minded interests, which everybody, you know, we like to eat. We are a foodie city, which is one of the beautiful things about Pittsburgh. And he is introducing the Hispanic, Latino flavor to our community and creating unintentionally through these two lines in his grocery store a cross-cultural opportunity for folks to mix and connect.
Before we wrap this up, while municipalities are looking at the benefits of attracting immigrant populations, it does have its critics. Why are some people opposed to this program? Do we know?
Well, I mean, I think there's a fear. Sometimes it's a fear of the unknown. Sometimes it's a fear or a misunderstanding of what we have talked extensively about, the job creating opportunity, but on the other hand, there are folks who are afraid that their jobs will be taken, and I understand that concern. But I'm here to say that we're looking at it through an economic development opportunity, and I want to make sure that as we move forward with our Welcoming Pittsburgh Advisory Council and our listening tour, that we are helping to educate Pittsburghers about the economic gain that can come. And I understand those fears. You know, jobs are precious, and we're still, you know, recovering, and it's a struggle for lots of folks, and we want to hear that, and we want to make sure we build on it and build on the innovative entrepreneurial spirit of native-born and new Americans alike to create more opportunities for all of Pittsburgh.
Betty Cruz is nonprofit and faith-based manager for Mayor Bill Peduto's office, and Gabriel Berriman is owner of Las Palmas Grocery. Good to have you both with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you for having us. Gracias.
Coming up, we'll talk with a local entrepreneur who's invented a tie accessory that's poised to take the men's fashion world by storm. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.